This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Allahu, 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 Allahu,
Welcome to Heart and Soul on QF Radio with me, Lauren Booth, your space to reflect. Today, it's my honour to welcome back Sheikh Sajid Umar. Sheikh Sajid has a bachelor's degree in Sharia. He also holds a master's degree in judiciary and is now pursuing his PhD. Sheikh Sajid is renowned as an international speaker and a galvaniser of communities. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you and all our listeners.
Ameen, and thank you so much for that. And the subject today is the much misunderstood word jihad. Jihad. First of all, we're going to look at it, Sheikh, with its linguistic meanings. We know that the often in the newspapers or unfortunately on our televisions, we will see the word jihad linked with wanton violence, pointless violence, egregious cruelty. And this, what in many people's minds, must now be linked to the meaning of jihad. Can you explain its actual linguistics and dimensions?
Excellent. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, and seeking God Almighty's assistance, I say that jihad is an Arabic term, and linguistically it refers to the concept of striving and exerting oneself, making an effort, as we would say in the English language. So that basically is linguistic meaning. And then in the dimensions of Islam, it carries on or it sort of takes on the linguistic dimension, which refers to striving and making an effort exerting yourself. And it refers to a number of things within the Islamic dimension. Now, as you said, nowadays people associated with violence, and violence shouldn't be a term associated with Islam, nor should it be a term associated with jihad. However, we can excuse those who actually have come to this understanding, because unfortunately, there are evil people who act under the guise of Islam and call what they do or call their abnormality and their, their violence, really, they call this jihad. And this has obviously been published out by the media, and people who never knew better, they have now come to learn about jihad in this manner. So it's unfortunate. So whilst we clarify what jihad means, we should also make an excuse for those who've taken the wrong understanding, because unfortunately the term has been hijacked by people that are not from Islam.
I just want to ask you, Sheikh, because there is an active physical dimension that was traditionally understood as jihad in the early times of Islam. Please tell us about that.
Yeah, so jihad is of various kinds within the dimensions of Islam, right? So as we said, within the dimensions of several kinds, it does include, taking up arms. That is a dimension. And we'll come to that. There are various dimensions. Some dimensions are obligatory upon everyone who is accountable. When I say accountable, I mean they've reached the age of puberty and they have mental sanity, right? So they are adult human beings. Some types of jihad, quote-unquote jihad, are obligatory upon them, while some are, considered communal obligations, that as long as a few people in the community take care of it, then the obligation of actually exerting yourself in this way is lifted. And some kinds of jihad, quote-unquote jihad, are mustahab. And mustahab, by mustahab, we refer to as recommend, right? So there's something in Islam, one of the dimensions of jihad within the dimension of Islam is known as jihadun nafs, which is jihad against oneself. And jihad against the shaytan or the Satan or the devil. And this type of jihad is obligatory upon every believer, upon everyone who is accountable, right? So basically, this jihad is not referring about, it does not entail you being violent upon yourself, absolutely not, right? And the reason why I'm going to keep on quoting the term jihad is so that it sort of resonates with everybody, and they actually feel that, you know, it's not so taboo to say the term, because the term, we actually understand how good or bad a term is by looking at its meaning. And there's actually more to the term in terms of its meaning than what we previously have seen on the television, for example. So, you know, jihad against the self, this is called jihad. What does this mean? This is basically you waking up every day to beat yourself. Not to beat yourself up, right? Not
right.
To beat yourself up, but to beat yourself. But to beat yourself, right? So what does this mean? This means that, you know, you wake up in the morning, you have desires. Desires to do a lot of things. Some of these things are impermissible. Now, for you to go against yourself and beat yourself, meaning to live that day upon the instruction of God Almighty, that requires patience. It requires effort from you. It requires you leaving that which your body really wants to do, but you're not doing it because you know it's wrong to do, right? So you are actually exerting effort to beat yourself. This is a type of jihad. Right, to beat the Satan. This is a type of jihad, and this type of jihad is obligatory upon all.
So what we're talking about here also is the conquest of the self, where there are different ways and conditions of waking up in the morning. One condition can be, I physically want to get this food today, I'm dreaming of this work, and I'm going to achieve these very physical material aims. And there is another condition which goes along in parallel with those physical needs, which is, I'm going to wake up today and I want to be kind to 5 people. I want to call my mother and my father. I want to be nice to people at work, and I really need to be more generous. And, you know, these are all elements in the jihad. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's you, you know, beating yourself, having a conquest over yourself. And, you know, sometimes you want to speak, you know, you're frustrated about something, somebody frustrates you, but you exert effort and you maintain your values. You know, stopping yourself from being with other people upon their values and rather being with them upon your values, this requires effort. This is a type of jihad. This is considered jihad in Islam, right? So, you know, developing good character, maintaining good character, you know, if I could, you know, dress up this discussion with this particular point, this is a type of jihad. And that is why when the scholars explain what this jihad entails, the jihad of, you know, beating yourself or, you know, experiencing a conquest over yourself, then they say this entails, number one, striving to learn the teachings of Islam. And note that they use the term striving, because jihad is about exerting an effort. So it's to strive. Yeah, and you could say that that's what jihad means, even linguistically, to strive. So they say striving to learn the teachings of Islam, without which one cannot attain success and happiness in this world or in the hereafter, right? This striving is a jihad. And this is a jihad striving to beat oneself.
So number one,
the conquest of oneself.
Okay, number one, then, effort of striving is to gain knowledge about why we're here, to at least theorize about it, to at least acknowledge there's a greater purpose, and to look at that from different angles. That's number one.
Yeah, and just to add to that, you know, it's not easy for everyone to do that, to look at things from different angles and to, you know, release the bias and give themselves a chance. That is an effort. I mean, today needs an effort as well. You know, just to give somebody a chance, give it a go. That needs an effort. Because remember, Satan doesn't want you to give it a chance. Satan doesn't want you to read the Quran, to open the final testament, and just read it with an open mind. So that's an enemy working against you there. And then you have the evil of the self working against you as well. For you to manage that, seek knowledge in that way, in an appropriate way, needs you to strive against these matters, needs you to exert effort, right? Needs you to experience a conquest. So this is one point, to study Islam. The next point is that they say is striving to make oneself act in accordance with that which you have learned. So now it's a case of you striving to put your knowledge into action, practicing upon the ideals that you've learned. Because sometimes you might know something to be good, but we just don't have the ability to practice it. We might know smoking is bad, but we still smoke. We might know alcohol is bad, but we still consume alcohol, right? So to have the ability to, you know, even when you're going on a diet, right, somebody might have a sweet tooth. okay, and you're going on a diet, you have to, you know, you have to strive to stay away from those sweets. You have to strive so you don't break protocol.
Okay, you're freaking me out now.
At a dinner table.
You're surprising me now because I've actually just put a brownie into my mouth. So that jihad, I'm literally, while you were saying that, may Allah help me with, you know, we, so the first dynamic quality then.
By
is,
the way, I didn't know you were on a diet.
No, it's more just don't have brownies every day. So this first level is to seek the divine and seek greater knowledge. That's one of the elements, and we can call that a striving element. The second element is in daily habits. What are our bad habits? What's holding us back in our daily lives? Whether it's in our intention to be more healthy, we know that poisoning our bodies, bad for us, bad for our faith, bad for our relationship with the spirituality. Whether that's eating certain things or avoiding not having enough vegetables or smoking, all of these are negative and we may want to get rid of them. It's another level of striving. So there's the practical element.
So that's a jihad as well. And that's why in Islam, there's something called the twins of faith. And that is knowledge plus action, right? So to gain knowledge needs you to strive, you need to make an effort. And to apply that knowledge needs you to make an effort. And if you do that, then paradise is worthy of you because you have exerted effort. It's not easy. God Almighty never said it's easy. And that's why he's given the reward of paradise for those who manage to learn what they should be knowing. And then they put into practice that which they've learned. Because these are two elements the devil doesn't want you to follow. You know, so this is jihad. This is jihad. This is jihad of the self. This is you experiencing a self-conquest, right? And looking after these twins of faith. Then, you know, even in terms of jihad of the self, is you striving to teach other people the ideals that you have now learned and have put into practice. This is the type of striving that Islam teaches us with regards to jihad. For you to go out and teach. You know, teachers are people in jihad. Somebody might say, whoa, how is that possible? Well, it is possible when you understand the reality of this term jihad and release yourself of, you know, the wrong understanding perpetrated by those who hijacked the term and hijacked the religion, unfortunately. So violence is really not a term associated with jihad. Jihad is a systematic matter. It has its linguistic definition and it has its dimensions within the realm of Islam, such as the ones that I'm describing to you right now. Now, I'm not going to be, I'm not going to be a hypocrite in the discussion. Does jihad entail taking up arms? Yes, it does. And we'll come to that shortly. Right now, we're discussing, you know, the other dimension. We will come to it just to, you know, ensure that we're not losing our view, our viewers here. Because sometimes we see people discuss the term of jihad and express it in such a way in that they don't give it its right. They don't give it its right, so they sort of leave out the discussion that it can entail taking up arms. And then people tend to view that discussion as a hypocritical discussion, as one that is...
We can always sense as human beings when something is being missed out, and hypocrisy is absolutely not acceptable. I'm going to recap before we go into a break of these lovely dynamic moments with Sheikh Sajid. Jihad, one, understanding why we're here, who's created us, looking for that is a jihad of the spirit. Two, habits of change, jihad of the daily life, jihad, the struggle against the wasteful, hateful habits. And three, part of jihad is sharing and changing the way to attain betterment. And that, again, involves teaching what we know to be good and to be truth. And we're going to take a very short break.
About it, my answer would be it's everything about Allah, the pure love to our souls, the creator of you and me, the heavens and the whole universe, the one that made us whole and free, the guardian of his true believers. So when the time gets hard, there's no way to turn.
to bless us with his love and his mercy, cause as he promised, he will always be there. He's always watching us, guiding us, and he knows what's deep in our hearts. So when you lose your way, to Allah you should turn, cause as he promised, he will always be there. Out from the darkness into the light.
You're listening to Heart and Soul on Qatar Foundation Radio with me, Lauren Booth. Sharing his gems of knowledge with us today is Sheikh Sajid Umrah. Welcome back.
May Allah bless you, Sister Lauren, and I'm happy to be back.
We're coming back on the subject of jihad, and we need to talk about the dynamic physical element which involves armed struggle. This phrase, jihad, has been used in recent years in the media to embody all that is violent and unpleasant in the current state of the world. Take us to its meanings and understandings in Islamic sense, please.
Okay, I'll be glad to, but I have a subtle request, if I may. And that is a request towards us lengthening this particular program to a part two. And then we can dive into that particular discussion in the part two, if this is something you will accept. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I just want to share a little, some pearls, some dimensions as well pertaining to this jihad of the self. You know, before the break, we were discussing, you know, what jihad means linguistically, what it means within the realm of Islam and the Sharia. And we said one of the most biggest meanings that jihad carries is you sort of, experiencing a conquest with yourself and developing yourself. And once when the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, came from a battle, he said, we have returned from the lesser jihad to the major jihad, right? So just ponder over these words. So he sort of referenced the battle as the lesser jihad, and he cited what they came back to, winning back to their homes and their families and lives, as the greater jihad. Teaching us that, you know, the reality of jihad is you living with yourself every day in a manner that God Almighty remains pleased with you. That's what it is. It's you waking up every day to sleep at night with God Almighty pleased with you. Right? So this is the greater jihad, not to backbite, not to be vulgar in your speech and your action, not to usurp the rights of other people, not to cause other people to become upset, right? All this is a type of jihad, and that's why, what, you know, just before the break, we spoke about you need jihad to learn, you need jihad or striving to practice what you learn, you need jihad or striving to also teach what you learn, right? Because God Almighty wants us, you know, the legacy of prophethood ended with, you know, was not transferred to any one man after the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Rather, it was translated to an entire nation after the Prophet, final Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. So the work of the Prophet hasn't stopped with the passing away of the final messenger. Rather, that legacy has been transferred to your shoulders, to my shoulders, and to the shoulders of our viewers, right? This concept of inviting towards good and teaching goodness and warning people against evil and teaching them what's wrong. So to do this whole practice of teaching requires jihad. You need you to strive. You need you to exert an effort. You need to spend from your wealth. You need to spend from your time. And then what happens when you teach people, Sister Lana? They turn against you, like the people of the messengers that they went to. They turned against them. So this needs you to strive, to be patient, to deal with it, to not get depressed about it, to not lose hope, to not give up, right? This needs jihad. It needs you to strive. Right? The Prophet needed to practice jihad every day, to wake up every day and continue preaching, even though people were there to insult them and to, you know, harm them and harm their followers and so on and so forth.
Jihad of teaching, we think of Noah, peace be upon him, who strove for more than 900 years to talk to his people about the message of oneness of God and how to live their lives, and was rejected by the people.
Yes. Now imagine that, Mr. Lawrence, and thank you for adding that point, because I think it will exacerbate the reality of the term jihad in the minds of the listeners. Imagine inviting people to God Almighty for 950 years. Imagine that. And for 950 years, only a handful of people accept your message. Right? I mean, we would give up on something within a few months. We would say, it's not working, it's not for me, I'm wasting time, I'm going to go on to something else. For 950 years, Prophet Noah continued. He was absolutely patient. You know, he was, you know, experiencing the conquest of the self that you rightly labeled every day. He had to. Otherwise, he would have given up on the duty, right? So this is jihad, to go out and preach and preach and preach and preach. And we have an entire chapter in the Quran dedicated to Prophet Noah. And it's actually called the chapter of Noah. And in it, he tells God Almighty of how he spent his life inviting people to God Almighty. You know, God Almighty, I used to invite them in groups, and I used to invite them individually, and I used to invite them aloud, and I used to invite them through whispering. And he tried every method. He was so dedicated to the cause, right? You know, you can, if I was a fly on the wall looking at this scene, you'd like be feeling sorry for him. Saying that he's pining and pining and trying and trying and reviewing his strategies and renewing his strategies and trying new things and so on and so forth, and people are just not with it. But he keeps on doing it. You know, it's like the old man in the corner who just keeps on speaking and nobody's listening to him. But despite nobody listening to him, he just keeps on speaking. Right? That's a jihad. That needs a striving where you just remain true to the cause. Right? And you continue. Now, why did the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, say that we have returned from the lesser jihad to the greater jihad? You know, fighting the battle, that's the lesser jihad. That's just the type of jihad. And unfortunately, today people say all of jihad is fighting. But the Prophet, peace and blessings, said that is the lesser, that's a minor matter. You know, if you want to say all of jihad, then say all of jihad is you beating yourself. Right? Is you being the best you can be when you yourself is working against yourself to be the best, when the Satan is working against you to be the best. And that brings us to a discussion in the Quran, because God Almighty describes the three stages of the self. And when I talk about self, I mean, you know, the soul connected to the body on earth. This is the definition of what we mean when we say the self. So when you are alive, God Almighty says that we exist in three sort of stages, or three sort of ways. The first way is in a way whereby you are inclined towards evil, a great inclination, right? Except if God Almighty has mercy upon you. So everything evil is beautiful for you, and it's easy for you to indulge, right? That's the first stage. God Almighty says in the chapter of Joseph, in the Quran, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُوءٍ, that indeed the self is so inclined towards evil. It's so inclined towards immersing itself in all that which God Almighty dislikes, except the self that God Almighty showers his mercy upon. So that's one way and one stage. The other stage is a praiseworthy stage, and God Almighty takes an oath by this stage in a chapter known as the chapter of the Day of Judgment. And in it, God Almighty takes an oath by the self-reproaching self, right? By the self that reproaches itself. And look, you know, this is exciting to do, but God Almighty doesn't like it. So I'm going to practice jihad and strive against falling into it. And I'm, you know, I want to, but I'm not. I want to, but I'm not. I want to, but I'm not. You keep on reproaching yourself, and you strive against yourself. God Almighty loves that, and he takes an oath by it. And then God Almighty says that you don't continue striving against yourself like this, except that you reach the third stage, and that is the stage of the content self. And that is the self that is not experiencing what the previous self experienced, whereby I want it, but I won't. The content self actually says, I don't want it. It's relaxed. There's no striving taking place now. Meaning being good and obedient is natural. In fact, you know, it's hard work to do a bad thing.
That is a fantastic place for us to call ourselves to account for today and take a pause until tomorrow, when we will return, inshallah, with Sheikh Sajid Umar on the subject of jihad. May peace and understanding descend upon us all. Assalamu alaikum. The producer for this series is Ihab Al-Sheikh.